You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, an old friend returns to the show, Diana Loopy. Diana is the author of the intergalactic classic underground sensation, ET 101, The Cosmic Instruction Manual. A satire that has never been paralleled since, we get to view humanity from the lens of the missing manual that we humans either never got or just didn't feel like reading before coming to Earth. Chock full of eternal truths, wisdom, and side-splitting humor, we get to look and laugh at ourselves, knowing that we're not alone and we're not crazy. So let's welcome Diana back to the show now. Hi, Diana. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, you know, it seems like it was just a chance event that you and I are doing this show tonight because I had a guest cancel on me at the last minute, and I had already asked you if you'd like to come back and do another show. And so it was kind of a no-brainer to see if you would return. And when you said that your book was starting to get published in other languages, it seemed like the perfect time to have you come back and talk about it. What's going on with the book that was written 25 years ago?
Yeah, it's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
What's going on is that... are you getting an echo on this?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, okay. What's going on is that a lot of people have started to ask for this to be put into other languages, many of which the languages, you know, when ET101 first came out and then it was sold to HarperCollins, they did a lot of translations on it. And then HarperCollins actually ended up violating the contract, and everything reverted back to me. And a lot of the languages that were done under HarperCollins, they only had a limited amount of time that they could publish in that language. So now everything is back to ground zero, and people are having to start over with languages. The first one that came up, though, was French, and interestingly enough, it never was in French. So that one has just been translated, and then I no sooner got that one, started in terms of putting out a print-on-demand copy of that, then I was approached about putting it back out in Spanish again. So, and it seems like everyone is, there's been a lot of traffic and a lot of requests going on about making it available once again and making it widely available.
Well, I agree. I think it should be in every language because it's really transcends the earthly plane in many ways, and it's I think that the humor will translate fairly well to just about any language, don't you?
Well, so, there are some problems. It was written in American, you know, I mean. It,
right.
Because it's different.
Good old USA.
It was definitely American.
Right,
and,
right.
And we have a way with idiomatic expressions that are kind of, it's interesting. American English is a very specific, very alive language, you know, and very, it's constantly being created, you know. So anyway, some things translate well. Other things are a little bit of a problem, but we're getting through that anyway. So not a problem there.
Right, right. Well, so one of the things that I was wondering about was if you were to write that today from the perspective of 2016, what kind of changes do you think you would make?
Hmm. Well, I don't know that I could write that again. You know, I was thinking about that this morning, just on my own, thinking I could never, ever do this book again.
Right.
Because too many things have changed, you know. Just my own journey has been, you know, has changed my perceptions a lot. And there's a kind of an innocence in ET 101 that I don't know that I have that anymore. But I certainly have. Yeah, no, you know, it's just wear and tear on going through all this stuff. And I did get very severely attacked by, you know, over ET 101. So, which is very strange to me because of all the books, you know, there's a lot of books out on ETs and stuff like that. Certainly a lot of things that have been a lot more in-depth, challenging, you know, the status quo, challenging the governments. But this one, they really went after it, you know, and I thought, kind of, this is such a gentle little book, I mean, really.
Uh-huh, but
but the fact is, it actually had the impact it had, because even when I was first approached, and I was approached from my extraterrestrials about putting this out, and I said, well, all right, but guess what? I'm not going to do a channeling. I'm not a Kelly girl. You know, that's not what's going to happen here. And I just wanted to keep my own autonomy. But I agreed I would do it, and they were very generous in terms of they really accepted my terms graciously, and they asked what I was asked to do was to create a kind of like a chalice, a container that could contain a greater energy, and that was I thought that's an interesting problem. How do you do that? And what I came up with was that everything in the book it was based on sound, you know. So basically, even though there's a lot of humor in it, so people are not getting that the meter in there is very, very regulated, and it's actually in many cases it's you know it's verging on a poetic expression. There's only one author who read that book who got that.
I didn't get it either.
No, most people didn't, but it wasn't. You weren't supposed to get it, you know,
right.
That was a subtle. It's hard to connect humor with an epic poem, well, of course there have been some, I guess, in Greek, but this one, you know, this was a trick, and. What they did then, and this is the design that came from ET sources, was that they embedded at a sub-audio range, I don't know whether it's over or under, but it isn't audio, you're not able to perceive it right off.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
they put in this whole track that was designed to speak to and awaken the DNA of people who were reading it. So in a way, it didn't matter what the book said. You know, it was what was being communicated on another level was where the real impact was. And I think that's ultimately why I got into trouble with that book, because I didn't think anyone would get it. It was so well hidden. I was aware of the fact that it was going on.
And this is a communication that you had personally. I had a different frequency that was a communication with you, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
And that happens a lot. Well, maybe not that much, since we're getting disconnected from you know, whatever source there is rapidly. That can happen. So
anyway, that's the kind of story behind the story. But so anyway, I think that's also why it's the book is now being requested again.
Well, there's also a lot that's in there about the fifth dimension and the third, fourth, and fifth. And, you know, there's a huge movement, and a part of it is disinformation, but there is a huge movement to imagine that we're shifting into the fifth dimension. And, of course, there have been numerous songs. The fifth dimension was a group. And all the songs that have been made about going to the fifth dimension and so on and so forth. There's a big push to believe that we are transiting after all these hundreds of thousands and millions of years out of these repetitive cycles of recurring history, which are basically the same play with different clothes. And that we're finally going to get to see some different show, and yet it seems like the same old show is going on over and over, hundreds of thousands, millions of years, and that when they say there's nothing new under the sun, they really mean it. I mean, you look at the political situation today, and it's really a tragicomedy. And Shakespeare said that all the world's a stage, and I'm beginning to think it is, because so many people have verified that the false flags and the various events that take place are all fake.
Yeah, and we may have, you know, a computer-generated president very shortly.
Oh, yes, yes. And
that's interesting, because you know what? It's like life imitating art or something.
Exactly.
In other words, they're dropping all the pretense that it's anything but a pretense.
Right.
I know. It's sort of like, all right, they're cutting out all the middlemen. So
right.
That's perfect. You know. All right. So we may as well elect a computer-generated image.
Right. Well, I know a lot of people are talking about escaping the Matrix.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who channels the group called the Praetorians, Timothy Glenn. He does excellent readings, but he has a humorous stand-up routine, I suppose you could call it, and he talks about, you know, Earth from the Praetorian's viewpoint, and it's very funny, but he also has said something that I think is, that I tend to agree with, and he believes that the Matrix, which we think of as, you know, being limited to Earth, is nine-dimensional and intergalactic, and so it is a lot larger than we may have originally thought because of the movie The Matrix. We didn't get to see the galaxies and other civilizations under the rule of thumb via, you know, a nine-dimensional matrix, which is run by artificial intelligence, and it would make sense that numerous galactic civilizations would be run by an artificial intelligence, because nobody, no human, no alien, is capable of running a galactic civilization without the use of some form of artificial intelligence. So we can guess that it's millions of years old and has been doing this for a long time, and we seem to be kind of tilting into the tilt-o-wheel at the carnival, and we're headed in that direction, or maybe we have always been there and just we're not aware of it. It could be a situation of awareness.
That's an interesting premise here. It seems to me one of the things I've considered is that every time we get closer and closer to understanding what in fact is going on here, they just enlarge the matrix to distract us further.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like they're building it as fast as they can.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just to keep us, you know, banging around in a lot of different rooms, but not actually coming to terms with who we actually are. And that we are, you know, just banging around in an artificial environment. We're a hologram. We are holograms that are now figured out on how to make holograms.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, Star Trek on the holodeck. You know, when it became self-realized and kind of poured out into the ship at large, you know. But it's that kind of a thing that's going on here, perceptually, and it's a staggering. It's potentially endless.
Yes, yes, and it does appear that there is some kind of human farming operation going on, and there have been enough movies made about it. The people who made The Matrix did Jupiter Rising and some other ones kind of indicated that we were, you know, basically we were seeded and created as a planet to harvest. And, you know, the raw material, raw Law of One material, talks about harvesting the Earth, that we are approaching another harvest time. And they're basically prepared. Carla Rucker channeled that material.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Ra stood for Reptilian Alliance or Rand. You know, one or both or all of the above. And so everybody seems to be in on the joke except the humans. And we're the last ones to know. So there is a farm. We are being farmed for our energies. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And the idea that we're at the top of the food chain is what keeps us from seeing what is actually feeding on us, just as we feed on cattle, chicken, and everything else. And this is a whole big cycle of consumption and death. And if you really it looks so peaceful and beautiful from certain angles, and yet it is a carnivorous festival of death.
It's wow.
Just, there's nothing but, you know, the struggle for life and death and instinct and survival. And then in the human world, we truly can get lost because it's a maze that is so complex that has been intentionally created to keep us occupied and keep our attention focused on external things and believe that we're physical beings. And
that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I suspected, is that there's a constant building of more material to keep us distracted from waking up from this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, where I'm at right now, I've kind of... The only thing that interests me at all is a prison break. I don't see any way that any of this stuff can be fixed. It's, you know, it's become so distorted and polluted that there's, you know, there isn't any point in fixing it.
I agree.
What we need to do is simply, and even to engage with these people that are doing this, you know, we're engaging in their game, and so we're bound to lose it. But
exactly.
At the same time, we get further away from who we actually are, which is the only thing we need to do in order to get out of here.
Right, right.
Arguing with them is going to keep us here.
Yeah. You know, years ago I did a number of radio shows, 22 or 23 radio shows with Liara, or her name was Liara, from Operation Terra. And I learned a lot from Liara. She's a quite a wise person, and she used to say this, and I had a hard time grasping it and understanding it. She said, "Well, the Earth isn't going to. The Earth wasn't meant to be saved. It's not. That's not what it was designed for." And so, you know, over the last 10 years, I've kind of come to the same conclusion that there's just no way that anything here can be turned around, and we harbor the illusion that, oh, if we just do this, or if we just do that, or if we just elect the right president, or if we just get together and form a new group, or if we just do this, or if we eat organic food, or if we get rid of Monsanto, all of these things are just distractions that mean nothing. They're like grains of sand on an endless beach. And you can distract yourself for eternity imagining that you're going to change the world, and it's you can't change the world because it isn't designed that way.
it's like trying to change a computer program that can't be upgraded.
But it does seem that there's a possibility of a reset.
Now that is a possibility. Earlier today when we were talking, I brought up that one thing that I had read that very few things that I come across really shock me into, you know, because there's nothing I can't imagine.
Right.
I try them on and just see how they feel and see if it works. But anyway, this one that I read did in fact blow my mind, and it was someone who was allegedly, a 32nd above 32nd degree Mason, and he came forward and was kind of spilling the beans about some of the stuff that was going on there, which of course they're not supposed to do. You're supposed to get killed immediately if you do that. But anyway, what he said, you do not understand the nature of this lie. For instance, you think that you're getting your energy from the sun, when in fact the sun is getting its energy from you. Think about
that. That's a mind bender.
It is a mind bender. What it did to me when I read that, I said, oh my God, what part of a lie? I mean, I've been looking at all this stuff that goes on here, and most of it is all lies. But what part of a lie isn't a lie?
Right.
Yeah. So then the sun is a lie within that lie. And if it's there at all, and the whole thing is a lie, then we're the ones who are lying to keep it there. In other words, it's deriving its energy from us.
That's quite possible.
It's very possible.
It is very possible.
Because that would blow this limited sense of self right out of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're that masterful that we in fact are doing that, even though we are shrouded in an identity that keeps us from knowing we're doing that,
mm-hmm.
And that's all it is. It's like, we're still doing it.
Right.
And if we're that powerful and we're that grand and we are the creators that we are that could do such a thing, then why are we living in a hellhole? Do you know what I mean?
I wonder that question frequently.
That's an incredible feat of creation. And certainly with that kind of adeptness and capacity and ability, we could make anything we wanted.
I agree, and I must say we might have just slipped on a banana peel.
we just might have.
John Lamb Lash wrote a book about the Gnostic mythologies, and he claims that Gaia Sophia was on her side of the eons, the creation, the gods.
She fell
into
creation. And
that she got too close and slipped into her own creation. Well, once again, it's the woman's fault, right? You did it. The lady driver, she didn't know what she was doing. She fell out, but she fell into her own creation. It's her own damn fault. Well, I don't think that's true, but I think everything has truth in it. I think there's truth in everything. But what the story is...
Well, we could have fallen into this creation. It looks like we have.
But yeah, and...
We feel helpless in front of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's falling into the creation.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Yeah. And then, like a fish fall into a net...
Yeah.
and get trapped. They were just swimming around, and all of a sudden their food on the plate, mm-hmm. With their heads chopped off and their guts spilled out. So they didn't know they were going to go on that journey that day, but they did. And we could have been traveling around the galaxies or where whatever is out there beyond creation, because I think that there is something beyond the physical creation that we are not aware of or we're not privy to at this moment or not conscious of. And we simply got snared into a lower frequency. And then I think that frequency controls. There are such things as frequency nets. They've actually pictured the barrier that's around the Earth, mm-hmm. and it could be a container for consciousness. And then, as far as incarnations go, you have consciousness unable to escape, and once it goes through the gate, and it's the ring pass not kind of thing. You know, you don't come back out if you go in there.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows? I mean,
it's kind of
there's
well,
a lot of
I'm kind of more inclined to think right now, like I'm watching everything that's going on, you know, like Monsanto and IG Farben and you know, and fluoride and 5G, you know, smart meters. I mean, transhumanism. Let's see, how many things are going on here that are. And it's almost like we're being cornered at every level. You know, we can't breathe.
Every level, yes.
And every level has been covered. But the thing is, why would they have to if we're such idiots? Hmm. Why would they have to go to this extent if something were not about to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're... You know what I'm saying? It's just... it's too big a buildup, and they're trying, you know...
This
prison system that they're trying to slam down to hold this race forever.
Forever, you know? Yes, yes.
Which is what it appears to be. That's what what the impact would be. You'll give up even your humanism. You know, you'll become part machine in order to better serve the. Because of course, you know, we couldn't live. We've fouled the environment so much that we can't even. Live without being part machine anymore.
Right.
I really did hear one scientist say that. But, you know, and that's how deeply pathological they have become, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me it's overkill if something were not, you know, if we're just trash, which is the way we're being treated, then why do you go to all this trouble?
Very good question. Very good question. It seems that we must have tremendous capacities and abilities.
Yeah, they're afraid of them. And,
yeah.
And by the way, that's getting back to ET101, that was the why they came down on that book particularly, is because it was talking about, and it was talking to the DNA. And I told you about a friend of mine, Pat, had a very intense blog called The Vatic Project, where she was calling out the government at every level.
Yeah, I remember that, her.
Yeah, right. And she even got in an argument with... Brzezinski, for God's sake. I mean, and
she was not afraid of anyone.
No, she was not afraid of anyone. And,
nothing, no matter how many times her
and
blog
she, and,
got
yeah, the, and the New York Times told her to never write another letter to the editor.
That's funny.
Anyway, it's like, all right, so anyway. But with all of that and with the enormous level of annoyance she caused everyone, they didn't crash her site. I mean, they played with her and they meddled with her somewhat.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then what happened is she put out a whole thing on Rh negative and the fact that there is potentially an extraterrestrial strain that is present in the human race. And she started exploring that on her website. It's not particularly political, but it was looking back at certain things that had happened historically that were indicating the presence of something other than human. And man, they tore her website to smithereens on that one. And I thought, well, that's interesting, you know. She's annoyed everybody, you know, in the political arena, but they let that go. Basically, of course, they let it go because they don't care what we think anymore. They're so far into thinking they've accomplished what they're going to do that they don't really care if we've noticed what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah, really, they're kind of like hubris comes to mind, but the one thing they were afraid of was the awakening of that strain and what Pat was talking about in that instance, and it caused them to try to slam down on that website.
Well, that's interesting because
I know I thought it was too. I said, "Oh wow, you must be onto something on that one."
Right. Well, that's fairly old information, isn't it?
It is, but yeah, and she had it on there quite a while ago. But that's when she had trouble. When she had
interesting.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I'm just talking about. I like to see what they react to. But you know, that's how you know.
Right.
What things are important. What? Yeah. Where are their weak points?
Right. Of course, there may be artificial weak points that are designed to throw us off. I mean, that's always a possibility. But in this case, I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't think it is either. Basically, because that's a huge reaction they get, you know. Reaction. That tells you something, you know.
Absolutely.
If they really come down on you, then you know you're doing something right. I mean, basically, you know.
Well, I liked her. What was her name? Pat.
Pat. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that. I called her Vatic, and occasionally I'd send her an article or something just to, you know, add to her collection. And she was a trooper. I mean, she was relentlessly digging and printing, and then she'd complain about being hacked and this and that and the other thing. And she was quite a character.
Yeah.
So, when did she have her heart attack?
Oh no, she actually she got cancer, very fast moving cancer, and she died. I think it might have been in July.
A couple of years ago?
No, this year.
This year, okay.
This year.
She couldn't have been more than 60.
Pat? Yeah, she was.
Oh, she was. Okay.
Yeah, she was.
Okay. Well, anybody that makes it over 50 is lucky, and as the future unfolds with GMO foods and chemtrails and vaccinations, I would put it down to about 35 or 40. I mean, in the next generation.
Yeah.
And yet, there is a ray of hope in that Mary Rodwell, one of my guests that was on recently, she's in her 80s, and she just is writing a book on the new kids who are incarnating. And, of course, we've known about the new kids for about 30 years now because I think it was Time magazine that first printed a story about the psychic kids in China. And then pretty soon they found that there were children that could do things that were way beyond the norm, and they were all over the world. And there were also babies that were healing themselves of AIDS. And so they called them the rainbow kids and the crystals, rainbows, and there's a couple of other ones.
Yeah, indigo is another.
Indigos, that's it, yeah.
Well,
there's another strain out, and maybe these are Rh negative, I don't know. But these are kids that are now about from 5 to 10, and she's talked to a few of them, and one kid was telling her that he was a, and then he named his profession, which was on another galaxy, and it was a very advanced form of whatever they do, transportation, I guess you could call it. And he was a technical advisor, and she said, well, what did you do? And he said, oh, you wouldn't understand it. And he's about 6 years old.
Yeah.
And she interviewed a lot of these kids, so it should be an interesting book, you know, to see what they're saying, because they remember their incarnations, and they're coming in from other galaxies far, far away. Mm-hmm. And we both said the same thing at the same time, that no one that was that intelligent would incarnate into a system that was going to blow itself up or self-destruct.
Yeah, that is a sign of hope that there is something coming that's really...
Something happens. And
yeah.
Whether, you know, I don't believe in... I'm not one for the Bible and Revelations and all that stuff, but...
they wrote it.
Yeah, those are all scripts that were written by, you know, control systems.
Programware.
Yeah, they write them outside of time, and then they make adjustments, tweak them for the listening of the current occupants. But so I don't believe any of that stuff. But I do read about some kind of cosmic event that is intergalactic. And there was an interesting book, The Two Pillars of... Oh, gosh, I can't remember the name of it now. But anyway... The author had taken all the different religions and philosophies and had taken the cream of the crop out of them, and he was able to make a case for there being some kind of twin pillars of celestial fire, that's it, that enter at certain periods of time that literally transform everything, and it has something to do with the spiritualization of matter. And so, you know, that's way beyond my pay grade, but it does sound interesting, and he was able to make correlations with all of the religions, and they all seem to, in that sense, that there was some event that lined up, you know.
Yeah.
But these 26,000-year cycles that we were paying so much attention to before 2012, to me, those, if it's like clockwork, then it's not something that is in the now. It's not outside of the matrix. Anything that happens that keeps recurring is eternally recurring, and it's set up to be that way.
Oh, you mean in the matrix?
Right, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's how that one works.
So.
Yeah, and it is. It's repetitive. The reason we keep going through, you know, history repeats itself. It's like, you know, basically. Because
mm-hmm.
it's programware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
History is not repeating itself. That program is repeating itself.
The program is, yeah.
Yes, the program is repeating itself. And so there you go. And you know, these are all... And actually, the programs aren't that sophisticated. You know, they get complex, and people get confused by them. And strangely, they always work. I mean, 9/11 was an example of it. That was like... the Reichstag fires of Germany.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
In other words, and that wasn't so long ago. How could nobody get that was a repeat?
Right, right.
And what did Bush say? He's talking about shock and awe. That's
yep.
what Hitler said when he, you know, invaded the Sudetenland.
Oh, yeah, that was a masterstroke, really, because they were working, well, of course, all of these situations work multidimensionally. They
yeah,
don't have
yeah,
one
they do.
Purpose. So they operate on many different levels simultaneously. That would indicate quantum computing was planning some kind of parallel reality interface, and quantum computing is said to exist. So no longer do they have to rely on duality. They can access quantum realms, and that means parallel realities, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was quite an interesting coup, which we still haven't, and I don't know if we will in my lifetime ever get to the bottom of. And there's so many different ways of looking at it, I actually was in an altered state at one point, and I saw on the television there was a program about it from the future. And it was done by some kind of advanced beings that had set it all up, because it was a warning, and it was the Twin Towers represented duality, and they showed they took their time to arrange everything. This is outside of the various black ops that were going on to create it. I mean, there were many levels and dimensions involved in it, and according to this story, it was done at a split-second timing outside of time, and they showed the museum where there were people, white papier-mâché people, full-size, that were twisted and turned in with looks of horror on their faces, and they created all of this in a museum. Everything was done right down to the split second, including going into the building and getting people out and then debriefing them. And so that, if that were true, and I saw the show, and it was definitely not PBS. I don't know where it came from, but I was able to tap into it at that time. And if there's any truth to that, then it was done for positive reasons. And then the other levels of it were all done for their own service to self reasons. But it was kind of like a last call to wake up, so to speak. And they're very nice people. It was us in the future, I guess. But it was a fascinating show. I wish they'd play it again sometime.
That's an amazing show.
Yeah.
Did it really happen?
I to this day I can remember the papier-mâché people in the museum, and the narrator, the woman who was talking about how they created it, and why, and how they got in and took people out, and people incarnated just to be there on that moment. They went under the veil of forgetfulness and were normal people working their whole lives just to be there at that moment when it happened. And they had agreed prior to, they were on the same team of the people that were putting on the show, they had agreed to go in there and do that. And of course, when they came out, they had to be debriefed that, yes, you had agreed to do this as part of, you know, because they were helping out, you're part of the good guys or whatever. But I thought that was an interesting perspective.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So, R.H. Blood, I've heard of it. Apparently it's one of 35 current human blood group systems. And I can't make any heads or tails of what they're saying in Wikipedia, so I guess it's going to be left for somebody else to figure out, but that was an interesting thing. That was an interesting fact that seemed to trigger some reaction.
It did, and that's what I was mostly, I used to do that when I was in college. I wait for the New York Times to pan something, to absolutely, you know, tear it apart to shreds. Because they'd all scream, you know, bad scholarship and all this other stuff. And I thought, oh, that book said something. I'm going to read that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, they always, the reaction gets my attention.
Right.
Yeah, because they would not need to do that if it weren't striking some bell, you know.
Right.
So they, you know, and they all scream foul and, you know. Oh, bad scholarship. That's a great line. I know, it's really actually quite amusing. But that's the same thing I see when I look. I kind of look for patterns more than to see where things get disturbed, because they're
there isn't much that we can trust as far as information
goes.
No,
there's
goes.
Actually nothing. And going
nothing,
back
yeah,
to
nothing.
What part of a lie isn't a lie? And
right.
We're back there.
And even the quote truth unquote they say that there's enough truth woven into things so that you will buy the lie. But then,
yeah, it's like a rider on a bill to Congress. They do that all the time. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started on that.
Okay, I know. Okay, but it is like that.
Right. It's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so weird. Isn't it weird to see the human race in abject worship of movie stars and politicians and concerned and angry about what this one says and that one does, and as if any of that made one bit of difference. I mean, they're basically, we're looking at the bottom of the barrel when we look at the system of political structures that we have that have been created to keep us asleep, and thinking that we're free. It's a stage show.
It is. You know,
and it's got,
you know,
so many layers and levels to it that go beyond it and below it and besides it. And you know, the mafia and the royals are all interconnected and you know, circulating money and drugs and people and sex. And it's just like a...
Yeah, nobody's playing a straight game anymore, are they?
Yeah. And the news is just a huge cover-up. It's just a huge... It's like somebody went into the makeup room and they said, I want to look like a clown tonight. Put on a lot of makeup. And they do. They put on a ton of makeup. I mean, don't they wear a lot of makeup? The women and the men, they're all so beautiful. Well, they're not really beautiful. They're just made up. But, you know... It's all a lie, and it's just distraction and distortion and belief systems and propaganda and subtle mind control.
Yeah, no, it's just keeping us, that's exactly the point. What it's doing is, first of all, just to say this, that there's no ego structure that anyone on the planet has that wasn't formed by this matrix.
Absolutely.
And so that to keep that distortion going, you know, they create all this agitation and whatever, you know, to keep us fascinated with this absolute mess we're living in.
Yeah.
But no one's challenging, this is, the prison break is absolutely essential. I mean, we're going to get out of where this one's headed. This one's headed off a cliff.
Well, how do you think people could do that?
Well, that's where I'm putting all my energy right now. It's like trying to figure out the best way to get out of this, you know.
Well,
it's really about coming to who you really are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going back to the prototype for the human blueprint.
Right.
This, you know, because, I mean, even as they are pushing us with technocracy into, you know, transhumanism and all of this, they're trying to take us further away from the relationship.
Oh, and we know that they've done that already in laboratories and in underground cities. They have all that stuff. It's probably 100 years ahead of us. Anything that we see about cyborgs or AI or clones or anything like that, it's all been done and it's being done. And it's progressing way beyond our ability to imagine it being possible.
It's way beyond our ability to control it. We're already lost.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you have to admire the secrecy because, my goodness, the Germans who came over from Project Paperclip via the CIA infiltrated all of the major corporations and NASA and all that, and they're really pretty much running the show today, and it's you know, they're the most technologically advanced,
what technocracy is. It's a fascist Nazi construct, you know.
Well, here we are, fluoride in the water
are,
again.
Exactly, here we are again. But that is what it
vaccinations.
Is. Yes.
Hello.
Forced vaccination. question.
Babies with mercury in their bloodstream, you know, destroying the brain tissue. I mean, that certainly is a Nazi experiment, if it's any experiment at all. You know, how do you destroy living tissue? Well, it ain't hard when you're a baby and it's brand new. You just stick a little mercury in there, baptize the thing, and then circumcise it, and then... and then put it in school, and you've got an automaton.
School, right, and then put it in a program where brainwashing program.
Yeah, eating GMO foods, drinking fluoride in the water, and you got it made in the shade.
Yeah, you do.
Them kids don't have no chances.
Yeah, but.
But they do, because they
maybe,
don't...
This is where we may have to thank this whole system for what it's doing right now, because it does push us into a corner where our only option is to waken.
Yeah,
where our
yeah.
only option is to become who we are.
Yeah.
And to, you know, the Ubermensch, you know, is the Superman.
You're right, right.
Has to emerge if we're going to survive at all. Because right now, if we don't shift this game, we're not. There's nobody, practically no one that can survive this.
Yeah,
and it's not meant to. They're not
right.
meant to survive it. You know, what I mean?
Can't. No, the biology isn't suitable.
No, it can't do that.
And the Earth is being terraformed for an acid environment. And if I remember my Alien franchise correctly, they were acid-based creatures, reptilian in nature, and I wouldn't be surprised if Earth was being terraformed, because now it is mainly made up of metals, aluminum and barium and all kinds of different things, radioactive materials, and it's toxic to us. But to another race, it might be like a caviar. I don't know. It could be, you know,
the most delightful stop
in the galaxy.
Wasn't that an X-File, their movie, you know, that terraforming that was going on here? Not terraforming. It is. In a matter of speaking, they're reforming
with nanotechnology,
to sustain another life form.
Sure, the self-replicating nanotechnology. Brought us Morgellons disease and programmable matter. Look at the corporations that are developing, and of course we know that Intel has it. Programmable matter, which is black and it's conscious. And
oh, is that black? Are you talking about black goo?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And the singer, you know, what's her face? The blonde gal that's so popular, Lady Gaga.
Uh huh.
She did that commercial for Intel, and she plays Lucifer, and it's quite clever how it's done. It's a very, very authoritarian, and it's a commercial for Intel and programmable matter. And basically, they're saying, you know, now you can dream beyond your dreams and create them. But we aren't allowed to dream beyond our dreams. We're not going to be the ones to do that. They're saying we. Meaning the elite, the ones who control you, can dream our dreams, and you're not in it.
Unfortunately, the dream wasn't big enough for you.
But without us, they can't exist.
Yeah, I know. It's
a little...
What are you going to feed off of if you do that?
Yeah, what are they going to eat? Where's their food going to come from? Where's the consciousness going to derive?
Who's going to keep the sun in the sky?
Thank you. Exactly. So we might just decide to just let everything fall, or we might decide to just explode them all, you know, just from the inside out. And it just may be that we're powerful enough to do that, and just by imagining it together... They could all just simply implode or explode and never bother us again.
Well,
anything is possible.
Yeah, anything is possible. But I think the one part in the Revelations that they say, even though I don't follow that very, that I'm not thinking everything there has come true. But it does say, you know, they go underground, and then there's 1,000 years of peace.
And, right, right.
And then I thought, well, but wait a minute, you know what? They all have all these underground things that they built to escape the carnage that they're unleashing upon this planet, and they're going to run into their, you know, man caves or whatever.
Right.
And wait till everything's over, and then they'll, you know, they can come back up and have a party.
And,
you know,
and
but basically,
away. Well,
what they're telling us, though, you know what? It's so hard to tell who's who in the zoo here. Like, who's real and who's not? Who's Memorex?
Right.
Mean, you know what? You know who's in Nephilim, and you know what?
Right.
We don't know how many real beings are here. Didn't that?
No, we don't.
Gurdjieff said nobody was here.
Yeah. Right. Right. I tend to align with him. Well, you know, Diana, we have flown through an hour faster than I could blink an eye, and I just want to thank you for coming back and sharing with everybody, because I think you're just a wonderful person and a terrific writer, and I want to keep in touch with what's going on with your book. And
basically, as soon as I get all these out and that's covered, there's a new book coming. That's what's up.
Wonderful. Well, I thank you again for being on tonight. And the link and all that stuff is on the website, so people can check that out for, you know.
Yeah, my website is dysfunctional, but
you're going to get it up to
get it up and running pretty soon.
That's right. And I'm going to follow up on it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, my friend. It was wonderful talking to you, and we'll talk again soon.